Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. I want to give you an update on the weather report here in Colorado. 19 below zero this morning. And it seemed like 50 below. Really, it did. Boy, is it cold. Sun is shining, you can't believe. I told you, we get the sunshine almost every day, 365 days of the year. That's true. But it does get cold. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I kind of wish you'd kick off your slippers and sit back and relax. Maybe you got a troubled heart. Maybe you're down in the dumps. Well, maybe this will help you tonight. So you let's sit back and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, here's our thought for the day. A question for an atheist is to serve him a delicious meal and then ask him if he believes there is a cook. Some people will tell you, I don't want the doctors to tell me what's wrong with me. How foolish. Then they will say, what you don't know don't hurt you. Personally, I want to know, and especially about heaven. Some people do not really know where they will spend eternity, but this scripture, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Let me repeat that. In order that you may know that you have eternal life. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven. Well, what then happens after when you're saved? Well, first of all, God washes your sin in his precious blood. And God's Holy Spirit comes into your heart, and you are now the son or daughter of Christ. That means every sin that you have committed are now forgiven and tossed into a sea of forgiveness, and your name now appears in the Lamb Book of Life. Now you are guaranteed heaven. Wait, Cecil, our pastor told us we could lose our salvation as quick as we received it. Well, beloved, he's a bold-faced liar. Yes, I said bold-faced liar. These TV evangelists who get up on TV and say, plant $1,000 seed offering in my ministry and you'll never have any problems. All your children will be saved and you'll never have any financial problems, is a bold-faced liar out of hell. Peter said you will have trials and tribulations. Now, friends, that comes from God's holy, unerring word, not from a charlatan's mouth. The preacher in Texas who said God told him to put preaching on salvation, quit preaching salvation, and start preaching a prosperity message is a bold-faced liar. Jesus and others spake out in the Bible about false prophets, and they're raising up their ugly heads daily. They're confusing people. But, beloved, I urge, I beg you to look into the Bible and prove them wrong. The Bible says, try the spirits to see if they're of God. Now, is this, what does it say in Colossians 2:2? That their hearts may be encouraged, having been together in love, and attending to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Don't you think that God our Father wants us to have assurance that we have his Son? Of course he does. That song we sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Now, if you didn't have any assurance, you ought not to sing that. But after you find Christ as Savior, then you can do it. Now, it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we provided to be among you for your sake, friends, it's the power of God's Holy Spirit that know the truth, and the truth shall what? Shall set us free. We need preachers who know how to get a hold of God so that he might anoint us and give us wisdom to preach his unerring word. Now I read in 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Saul of Tarsus went about trying to destroy the churches. He helped kill and jail Christians. And you know what? He admitted later he did this in total ignorance. Well, Saul got a surprise of his life as he was traveling to Damascus to get some more people to kill and put in jail. God knocked Saul flat of his face, and then he challenged Saul. Saul acted like he didn't know who was speaking to him. Why? Why would God call a wretched man like that to preach? Because God knew Saul's heart. Why did God call an old drunk like Cecil Moe to preach? Because God knew my heart, and God had a plan for my life, as he does for you tonight. Friends, I don't know what God has for you, but if you're saved, he has a call on your life. Get on your knees tonight and ask him what he wants for you. Well, I can't tell you what he wants for your life. No, I can't. You know, friends, what happened one night on my radio broadcast? I get a call from a kook. I called him a kook because that's what he was. He said, you know, we were having a revival in our church, and a man came up and prophesied over me, and he told me Cecil Moe would give you my 35-foot motor home because God was calling him to be an evangelist. Well, la-di-da. So that kook called and asked where he could pick up the motorhome that I was going to give him. I told him where I lived and said, be sure and bring a check for $51,000 and you can have it, man. Boy, he hit the ceiling. That other kook lied to that man. When people prophesy over you, you better be sure you ask God if this guy's a crackpot, and 90% of the time they are. See, assurance is a beautiful word. And a lot of people don't have it. And I know some Christians, born-again Christians, who really do not have the blessed assurance that when they die, they go to heaven. Well, you know, I always say, well, where in the Bible does it say you must be born again, born again, born again? It doesn't. In fact, in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, I believe it is, where he tells people, if you could be born again, and you lost it, it would be impossible to come back seeing that you crucified Christ afresh. Friends, once you know Jesus and you have the assurance in your heart, you should be wanting to go all the way with the Lord. You should want to go out and tell people and share your faith. You know, the first people that I tried to win after I was saved was my two brothers. And boy, howdy, I mean to tell you, I knew I had my hands full because they didn't like God and they didn't particularly like preachers. So I wasn't having much success, but I never gave up. I prayed for my baby brother for 23 years before he accepted Jesus. I prayed for my older brother for 26 years before I had the privilege of introducing him to Christ. It tells us in Hebrews 10:22, by this will we know how we have been sanctified through this offering of the body of Jesus once for all. Sanctified means to be set apart for God. You know, folks, I was preaching a revival in Burlington, Washington in the early 60s. The next day, the pastor and I visited a sweet little Nazarene lady, and she said, Cecil, I believe you've been sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, amen, sister. That's true. Well, she said, then you've received the second blessing. And I said, oh, sister, I did not stop there. I've had so many blessings from God, I can't even count them. Oh, she got upset. You see, some of those dear people, and they're wonderful people, I don't have nothing against them, but they don't know the truth. They believe that after you're saved, then you have to be have the second blessing by going to the altar, and then you receive the Holy Spirit. That's not in the Bible. You receive the Holy Spirit the day you repent of your sins and invite Christ in your heart. That's the way the Bible reads. But a lot of people don't believe that. Now, I'm not saying those dear people aren't saved, because there are a lot of them are, but they're saved in spite of what the church teaches instead of what the Bible teaches. And you should be filled with His Spirit daily and refilled daily. That is, if you want to lead souls to Christ. One night I was preparing a message for the next Sunday service. All of a sudden, I had to go to this young man's home. I jumped up and got in my car and I drove his house. And it was about 9 or 10 o'clock at night. He told me, I keep dreaming about going to hell. That night, I shared with him the gospel. Now, he'd been coming to my church. And I told him what he had to do to be saved. And that red-headed young man knelt on his knees and invited Christ. Oh, listen to his heart. And you see, when that young fellow repented and accepted Christ, he was saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, and you know, if you are filled with God's Holy Spirit daily, you'll be able to lead souls to Christ. Friends, you know what my daily prayer is? Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit and give me holy boldness and give me souls for my hire. It works, beloved. I've been introducing souls to Christ for 54 years. That's exactly what you need to do. We all need holy boldness. And you look it up in the Bible. Look up holy boldness in the Bible. You'll be surprised how many times it appears in there. And it tells us in 1 John 2:3, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him. Now, let me read that again. By this we may know, there you go, there's that word, that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Again, there's that word. We know. Not hope so, but we know him personally. Now listen to this. 1 John 3:19. We shall know by this that we are of the truth and shall have assurance in our hearts before him. How confident are you in prayer? In good works? Again it says, we shall know. I can't overemphasize, we may know that we've been born again. Also tells us in 1 John 4:13, by this we know, there's that word know, that we aside in him, and he inside of us, and him inside of us, because he has given us his Spirit. Again, there's that beautiful word, we know. Let's go on to 1 John 5:10. The one who believes in the Son of God has a witness in himself, and one who does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he hath not believed in the witness that God has borne concerning his Son. Well, some people see that you're a true witness of Jesus Christ. Can people see it? Do they know that you're a true witness? Well, beloved, listen. If not, maybe we should check up and see whether you have truly been born again. Have you had a spiritual experience, or you had a spiritual nightmare? If you haven't been born again, we can settle that tonight. If you're willing to humble yourself and become as a little child and repent, and I can't overemphasize a word, because there is no salvation experience apart from repentance. That's really godly sorrow for our sins. You know, friends, I remember one time I'd had a heart attack, my first heart attack, and I was in the hospital. And I got a call from Virginia Beach, Virginia, and it was my skipper, Admiral L.J. Alexanderson. Someone had called and told him that I was in the hospital. He's really like me, and I don't know why, but he did. I just loved that man. And I said, "Skipper, I'm too sick to stand at attention." He said, "At ease, brother." And we talked, and we talked, and we talked. Well, I got out of the hospital, and, I suppose, 3 or 4 months later, by dinghy, he had a heart attack, was in the hospital. So I remember one night I felt a very definite urge to call him on the phone. And I called, and his wife answered, and I said, "Is the skipper in?" "Oh," she said, he's resting, he's asleep." "By the way, who is this?" I said, "It's Mo." "Oh, Mo, he'll want to talk to you. So he gets up, puts him on the phone, she on one phone, he on the other phone. And so I said, "You know, skipper, I know you've had a heart attack, and I've had one. They're not funny, are they?" "No." But I said, "You know what? Someday, skipper, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have no more heart attacks. We're not going to have any more cancer operations or other operations. And God will wipe away our tears. There'll be no disappointments." And his wife said, "Mo, the skipper and I don't know whether we're going to heaven." I said, "That's why I called. That's the reason I called." So I went over to Plan of Salvation with both of them. Now, they were good people, but they were lost. See, good people are lost, too. The Bible said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've sinned. I've sinned. And we were born lost. Now, we're in the age of accountability. We better do something about it. So I said, "Skipper," I said, "would you and your wife, do you like to pray the sinner's prayer? I'll lead you in that prayer tonight." And he said, "Oh, yes, oh, yes." He was 92 years old, and I led him in the sinner's prayer, and you know what the skipper said to me? I said, "Skipper, did you really mean that?" "Oh, yes, I meant it, Mo. Hey, this is the happiest day of my life." Because he had assurance. His sins were forgiven. Tossed in a sea of forgiveness, name written in the Lamb Book of Life. Now he's on the way to heaven. Both of them's in heaven tonight. You know, one time I got a call from Bill Elton, my good friend. He's our class president of 42. And Bill said, "Did you know that Mary Zanheiser is in the hospital in Portland?" I said, "What for?" "Well," she said, "she's had her lung taken out." I said, "Cancer of the lung." Well, now, Mary and I were just as close as brothers and sister. And so I get on the phone, and I call the hospital, and Mary gets on the phone. I said, "Mary, what's going on, sis?" She said, "Oh, sis, I had lung cancer." But she said, "I think I'm going to be all right. They said they got all of it." Well, I said, "That's great." And I said, you know, Mary, I'm going to start praying for you, boy, every day. Oh, Cecil, you know I don't believe in that stuff and God and stuff. I said, I know you don't, but that's why I'm calling you. Well, about a week later, she went back to the doofer where she lived. I called her again. I said, how you doing, Mary? Oh, she said, I'm feeling great. Boy, she said, I'm feeling great. I said, oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I started to witness to her. She said, Cease, I don't want to, I don't want to make you feel bad, but Cease, I don't believe in that stuff. This goes on for about 2 or 3 more months. I don't know how many times I called her and how many times I witnessed to her. And one night late at night, maybe 11, I don't know, about our time, that made it about 10 o'clock her time. And she answered the phone. She said, well, Cease, what do you call me for this late at night? I said, Mary, I can't sleep. I know that if you die, you're going to go to hell, Mary, and I don't want you to go. I'll do anything to help you. She started to cry. And there I asked her, Mary, would you like to pray the sinner's prayer? And she said, yes. And that night she gave her heart to Christ. And I sent her a nice Bible, and she lived a little while longer and then went to heaven. I remember when going to my Dell's class reunion, and I saw all the big boys that used to be the D Club boys. And I was a nobody in high school because I was poor, but I was more than that. I was nobody. And I said to somebody, I said, where's Jimmy Berwick? Oh, said, didn't you know he's dying of cancer? I said, where's he lived? They said, down in Oregon, Eugene, I think it was. I couldn't wait to get back to Denver. I got on the phone and I called his home and I got a call. And she said, I said, does Jimmy have a phone by his bed? She said, no. But she said, I have a cell phone. I'll tell you what I'll do. If you tell me exactly what time you're going to call, I'll be over at his room and I'll give it to him. So she took it over and I called and Jimmy answered the phone. I said, Jimmy, buddy, how you doing? Oh, he said, I'm not doing too good, Cease. I said, Jim, do you know where you're going when you die? And he says, no, I don't. But I said, I'm going to tell you right now. And there I shared the gospel with him. And that night I said, Jimmy, would you like to pray to receive Christ? And he said, yes, I would. And that night we prayed together, and Jimmy accepted Christ. Wasn't long later he passed on. Friends, that's our job. When you're spirit-filled, spirit-led, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit as he tells his people we're supposed to see. And if we do it, there's going to be results because he's going to be working on the other end. Friend, let me ask you. It says here, 1 John 5:13, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life, friends. Do you know that tonight? If not, let's settle it right now. If you feel it tugging at your heart, I want you to bow your head at me right now. I sure don't want you to pray this unless you mean it, and here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I want to admit, Lord, that I'm a sinner, lost, doomed, and damned. I do believe, Lord, that Jesus died for me on the cross. And I want to open my heart right now and receive him as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. You get on the phone, you call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call me collect. I'll accept the charge. 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host's been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Please forgive me my fumbling and bumbling. I can't see very good anymore. I got to go to a doctor, and they're checking my eyes the 9th, I believe. Pray that my eyes will get better, because, oh, man, I don't want to quit preaching. You know I don't. Oh, no. Well, I want you to pray for me and my ministry, and pray for my wife, pray for our health. Pray God will give us souls for our hire. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.